Hey everyone, we're back. We have a brand spanking new episode for you today here on Comedy History 101 on the history of traveling salesmen and farmer's daughter jokes. Ooh. Before we jump into the episode, a few plugs. I have a new book out called Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories. It's all about my exploits going out undercover and infiltrating tribalism in America. Everything from assault weapon enthusiasts to furries and everything else in between. Also, September 20th, if you're in Washington, D.C., I'll be performing at the Kennedy Center with my show Jokey-Okey as part of the Reach Festival. So be sure to check that out. Just Google it. You'll find the information. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
The doorbell rang and the father answered the door and the lad said, "Hi, my name's Joe. I'm here for Flo. We're going to the show. Is she ready to go?" The father looked him over and sent the kids on their way. The next lad arrived. "My name's Eddie. I'm here for Betty. We're going to get some spaghetti. Is she ready?" Father felt this one was okay too, so off the two kids went. The final young man arrived and the farmer opened the door. The boy started off. "Hi, my name's Chuck." And the farmer shot him.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
What?
The farmer shot him at the end. The guy was horrible, committed manslaughter.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
How you,
especially in this
kind of
day
show?
And age. It's like what fucking kind of gun regulations on these farmers.
What kind of show are you leading us into here, man?
So, what you heard there up front was an example of a farmer's daughter joke. And yes, you've tuned into yet another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I'm Harmon Leon. With me is Scott Kalanico. Scott, how are you? Top of the morning. Robot voice. I'm over here across the pond. What are you going to say? Go ahead.
I'm not going to talk if you're going to be mean to me.
No, I'm just joshing because we've been off for a few weeks now. And
we're on vacation.
Yeah. So it's just, I'm just trying to get us back up to gear, back up to pace.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm there.
Are you done?
Yes.
Are you done?
Yes.
Can I reply now?
Yes.
I'm fine, Harmon.
Oh, okay. Good. You undersold it. I like that. You did the undersell. Yeah. So, again, that was what you heard up front is an example of a farmer's daughter joke, which also ties into the classic traveling salesman joke, which is the topic of today's episode here on Comedy History 101. And footnote, Scott, this episode, yet again, was recommended by one of our listeners, a Shane Schmidt, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and listeners, you can be like Shane too. You can recommend things that we could do episodes on, and we could pay you a homage here on Comedy History 101 by actually doing that as an episode.
Yeah, and then we'll tweet about it and put it up on our Facebook page.
That's right. And how can they contact us, Scott?
That's how they can contact us, by tweeting at us or going to our Facebook page. Facebook page is pretty easy to find, Comedy History 101. Our website, comedyhistory101.com. But the Twitter's a little tricky, Harmon, isn't it? It's comhist 101.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
All right. That's how.
And what if they want to Instagram us?
That's at Comedy History 101.
That's right, yeah. All across the board. So, Scott, do you
all across the board, dude.
So, just Scott, explain to me what a traveling salesman joke is. And why don't we really hear a lot about it? Our 2019 eras. With our 2019 ears.
Well, I think, yeah, because I don't think they're very woke anymore. Because they typically, as you mentioned, they typically involve a salesman who happens to be traveling from place to place. And a farmer who is, you know, upholding conventions, and then his daughter, who sometimes will be sexually promiscuous.
True, but also there's the farmer's daughter joke and the traveling salesman joke. They intersect, and sometimes there's traveling salesman jokes without farmer's daughters, and sometimes I follow me on this train of thought here. There's, want to say it together. There's farmer jokes without. Traveling salesman. Yeah, exactly. But the reason why you don't hear a traveling salesman joke, it's kind of a joke of a bygone era.
Yes, old timey. Old timey days, we would say.
Well, can I just say, thank you, Amazon. Thank you, Jeff Bezos. For taking away our traveling salesman jokes. Thank you. Thank you, second day delivery. No delivery charges.
Oh, because there aren't traveling salesmen anymore, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, there's okay. No one knocking on your door. First of all, fucking man, creepy. That's creepy. A strange man knocking on your door just saying, is the man of the house in?
Yeah,
and then putting his foot in the door.
Yeah, he put the foot. Then he would like sprinkle dirt all over your carpet and vacuum it up.
No, I want to tell you this joke. It's important because I love this joke. This is a great joke. It's a really good joke because it involves a traveling salesman, and I like that because too many jokes today don't. Traveling salesmen are going away. They're going away. They're being replaced by guys calling you up from India, pretending they're not in India. Hello, this is Scooter. How about that local team?
Yeah, so, there's a traveling salesman joke that goes like, okay, I'm going to sprinkle dirt on your carpet, and if this vacuum cleaner can't sweep it up, I will eat that dirt with a spoon. And the woman says, well, good eating, because we don't have electricity.
Oh, no.
Again, from a bygone era. As you might remember from, maybe traveling salesman's jokes would be told amongst the characters in the 1960s era movie Salesman, by whom, Scott? The Males Brothers.
Oh, those Males Brothers. That was good. They were traveling Bible salesmen. Then there was also the Fuller Brush Man.
Tell us about that. Was that in the Males Brother movie?
No, they were selling Bibles. No, there was like the Fuller Brush Man. Mm-hmm. So you didn't know Fuller? You'd never heard about the Fuller Brush Man?
No. Was it in a movie?
Yeah, they would sell brushes door to door, man. That's what you did.
Yeah, I just saw like there was a guy on YouTube. I think it was a documentary short where he was the last traveling salesman that sold bronze baby shoes. In like modern era.
Yeah, so here it is. So here's some quick figures. This is why, maybe these jokes were so popular. Mm-hmm. So the Fuller Brush Company, which, you know, would make brushes as you would think, it said by 1985, mm-hmm. that's back in the 80 days, like you'd be wearing Dayglo with your sleeves rolled up, you know, listening to Paul Young. But like by 1985, all of the company's sales were generated from door-to-door salesmen.
Wow, and now it's probably all generated by point and click. That's good.
Yeah, that's right.
So we could tell a few traveling salesman jokes, but they're all like at least like a paragraph long.
Yeah, they're not very long. That's the thing.
They're all long. They're all like, and then this when, then he said.
This is a joke that involves a traveling salesman. I like this joke. A traveling salesman walks up to a house and he knocks on the door, and the door is answered by a 10-year-old boy who's wearing a brand panties and high-heeled shoes. He's smoking a cigar and drinking a scotch. And the salesman goes, whoa, son, are your parents home? And the kid says, what the fuck do you think?
Let's focus more on the genre of joke, also of a bygone era, of the traveling salesman farmer daughter kind of combo of jokes. And in those jokes, I think as you just stated, it involves a farmer, his daughter, And a salesman who's stranded in the country somehow because of weather or car trouble. And again, also very dated because, Scott, let's say you're a salesman and you're stranded in the country due to weather.
I'm stranded in the country due to weather or car trouble.
Just get an Airbnb. Why do you have to knock on a farmer's door and ask to sleep in the barn?
I just call AAA, dude. I call AAA. Man.
Exactly. I would call it from the computer in my pocket to help me out because I'm stranded, AAA. So maybe the jokes have to be, they have to involve this detail. It's and his cell phone battery is dead.
Oh, that's good. Maybe we should start.
And he doesn't have a charger in his car, so he has to sleep at the farmer's house. And
oh, that's good.
Somehow
that's
going to sit good with the farmer, letting a stranger sleep in his barn.
Or he bought the wrong
2019.
Yeah, he bought the wrong adapter for the charger, or like it's loose, like it doesn't stick in all the way. That's a 2019 problem, isn't it?
The quandary in the farmer daughter traveling salesman joke is I will paraphrase and just point out that there is a funny part in this is that the salesman is allowed to sleep in the barn, but there's one stipulation: he has to stay away from the farmer's daughter. Crux in the plot. Yeah. Inevitably, the crafty salesman manages to foil the protective father, and hanky panky ensues. Thus, the quandary of the farmer's daughter joke.
Behind the first hole was my wife. That is where she stays. The second was my daughter, young and supple like a fawn. The third hole was a milking machine that doesn't quit till 50 gallons are withdrawn. Withdrawn!
Right, but I think, were you going to bring this up later? Because there's also the salesman who doesn't get any version of these jokes.
Like, how does that go?
Okay, so basically, it's kind of, the setup would be about the same, and same deal. Like he is a salesman. Car breaks down. Offered refuge by a farmer, on the condition that he stay away from his daughter.
Stay away from my daughter. You can sleep in the barn. Just don't rape my daughter.
Yeah, which of course is always a basis for a funny joke. Yes. So, and then the salesman winds up not sleeping with the daughter.
Yeah.
And in the morning, she's basically, cucking. She's like, well, why didn't you try to sleep with me? So that's like the twist on the joke. I can tell you the actual joke, the one I read.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So see if I can remember. So a salesman is traveling from door to door when all of a sudden his car breaks down. It's getting late at night, so he doesn't know what to do. So he seeks refuge at a nearby farm, and the farmer welcomes him in, says, "Well, I'll give you a place to sleep, but I only have this bed with my beautiful 20-year-old daughter." And so the salesman goes, okay. And the farmer builds a little fence of pillows in between the two before they go to bed, right? You following me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And so they go to bed. They fall asleep. And then the next day, I'm just hoping I didn't leave anything out. Anyway, the next day.
Did you leave out the funny bit, maybe?
No, hold on, that's coming.
The funny bit's coming. Okay, yeah.
The salesman goes out and he sees the daughter. She's feeding the chickens on the other side of the fence. And she's like gives him an alluring wink. And the salesman makes a comment like, boy, if this fence weren't in the way, I'd come over there and give you a big kiss. And then the farmer's daughter says, well, if you couldn't get over a line of pillows, how are you going to get over this fence? Something like that.
Ah, and then we laugh.
Yeah, so but in that case, you're laughing at the salesman because he didn't get any.
I'm reading here like a description of farmer-daughter jokes, and it says here that the traveler and the daughter sleep together, and in parentheses it says, in some variations, multiple times.
Ah.
And in the morning, the farmer somehow discovers the deception, and the punchline is then delivered either through the punishment or sexual humiliation of the traveler by the farmer.
Right. Right,
or through the humiliation of the farmer by the traveler tricking him and escaping punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Or being law enforcement, maybe, in that case. Yeah,
the
too.
Cops.
Yeah, so I think it's just to paraphrase, of a possible twist is somehow the traveling salesman thinks he's sleeping with the daughter and he's really sleeping with one of the farm animals.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, which is fine. That's fine. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, we're not condoning that,
no.
People.
No.
We're promoting it either,
what?
Really.
What? What?
No, in this.
But if he wants to sleep with the farm hands instead of the daughter, that's fine. I'm fully supportive. Yeah. As long as it's consensual, that's the thing.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
But, Scott, did you know this? Did you know that, first of all, the traveling salesman joke, it came into prominence roughly around, it traces back to at least the 1900s and is closely associated with the Ozark subculture. So I guess they must have had a lot of traveling salesmen in the Ozarks. Man. Or a lot of farmers' daughters. I don't know.
And that kind of ties in with the Beverly Hillbillies because, you know, like, Ellie Mae is like the quintessential farmer's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Or Little Abner and Daisy Mae.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Little
or
Abner.
Or why don't we go Dukes of Hazzard too?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I like that. I like where we're going with this.
Well, Scott, can I just say you are correct? Because the farmer's daughter is a stock character, not only in jokes, but also in fiction.
Okay, yeah.
And so it drives back to 13th century Icelandic literature.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. So the jokes that we're hearing today are just merely kind of stock characters where the salesman, it wouldn't be a traveling salesman, but they would refer to him as the peddler, who is not a Batman villain. But a peddler of wares.
That'd be a great Batman villain, dude. You can make a movie and it'll get into like Toronto and Venice and all those big famous festivals.
With
now.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, as the Joker.
Yeah, so the archetype of both the characters, of the farmer's daughter and the peddler. So the farmer's daughter is often portrayed as a desirable, naive young woman who will tend to marry a hero and settle down. So, like I was saying, in the 13th century Icelandic, it's called Gretas Saga, the character and female servant discover a fugitive warrior sleeping naked in a barn. The servant mocks the size of the warrior's, I'm just going to say it, penis.
Yeah, that's fine. You
kids,
can say that.
We can say that, yeah. And the warrior awakens and whoa, here's a plot twist.
Oh, whoa.
And forces himself on her as the farmer's daughter flees from the room.
We don't
endorse
that.
Not very woke, Iceland, 13th
no,
century.
We did not endorse that.
No. Double no. Don't take our words out of context, saying we do.
No,
and
please.
Twitter
it. Don't put
But you can. You can Twitter us via our website and a comment and like us on
How
iTunes.
Would people get to us? At ComHist101?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So another variation of the joke goes back to medieval France. The story describes a farmer's daughter couldn't bear to hear about fucking. Whoa, come on.
Hey,
French,
hey,
French people.
Hey.
And I'm going to say a cliche line, but it's applicable here, Scott. Pardon my French.
That's right. That's okay.
Yeah.
But you know the French say?
Je n'ai pas parlé le français.
They say pardon my English.
Ah, really? And they don't call them French fries. They call them pommes frites.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So in the French story, the farmer's daughter is rendered physically ill by the very mention of vulgar words. So she and her father's farmhand come up with a euphemism referring to the penis as a horse and her vagina as a spring. And at the end of the story, however, she instructs him to, ready for the funny part, Scott?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Water his horse in her spring.
Oh, dear.
And it says here that implying that she is unwilling to speak the vulgar words, but readily available to perform the act. And see.
Oh, heavens.
And curtain lowered.
Oh, dear.
Ah, you French. So again, farmer's daughter jokes, they correspond to different stories around the world of naive or foolish or rustic people with certain features of the joke uniquely American. So what we're hearing with the traveling salesman joke and the American version of the farmer's daughter joke, this is evolved over time, but as we just said, kind of around the 1900s is when the modern-day traveling salesman joke became into vogue. Mm-hmm. Or at least the American twist got put upon it.
I agree.
So, yes. Scott, are you there?
Yes.
What can we get all, like, kind of, like, psychological? What is the psychological implications behind these jokes where you have this farmer telling a stranger, you can sleep in my house, but you can't sleep with my daughter? First of all, that's just a fucking weird thing to say.
Yeah, but Harmon, this is the this is all involved with the latency stage of psychological development in which the individual is resolving the repression of the Oedipal conflict.
Ah, thus jokes reveal much about the societies that tell them, including their anxieties, fears, and values. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. But to not quote from the pages in front of us, I think the interesting thing was that, like, these jokes also kind of enforce the notion of itinerancy.
What does that mean?
the fact that Americans travel a lot, you know, as opposed to other cultures, you know. Well, so you've got the traveling salesman.
Well, I think the modern version of that, but I think in old timey days, such as like your French version of the joke, and need I quote yet again, Scott, the Canterbury Tales, which was all about traveling and all about body stories.
Yeah, but that one was like those were pilgrims. They're on a pilgrimage, and then what people are saying is that, you know, the idea that people move around all the time is kind of built into American culture, you know.
Well, I think it's just car culture, and because traveling salesman jokes involves a car breaking down.
Yeah, but I think it's also about just kind of like frontier and resettling culture, you know, as opposed to like you've been over here to the Europe. A lot of times, like, people will, like, you know, be born somewhere and just stay there forever, which, you know, happens in the U.S. too. But, you know, in the U.S. you get a lot of people more. It seems people they'll move around more, you know, than they do over here.
Yeah, they'll live in London and they'll go, I've never been north of Leeds.
Yeah, I met a dude in one of those guys I interviewed in Edinburgh for the Banana Flats film.
Yeah.
He left Scotland once.
That's just so fucking weird.
Yeah.
I mean, to Americanize, it's like, yeah.
I worked with a dude in Texas, and when I was working at the state archives, I worked with a guy who had never left Texas. He'd gone to Mexico once on a trip with the rest of work to Mexico in the 80s.
Oh, another weird thing is, like, in Europe is when you meet grown adults, like, they're grown adults that that say to you, I'm going to go in this weekend for my driver's license test.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of weird.
Yeah, we kind of had that in school when we were 15.
Yeah, I know, but that's that. Yeah, it is.
It's just a different culture. So, ties into today's topic of, you know, we're car culture. We have our traveling salesmen, or we had, you know, until Amazon came in. And their cars would break down, often by farms.
Yes. Well, thanks for steering that back on topic. Yeah. An interesting thing to go tie it back in with the Fuller Brush Traveling Salesman, actually owned by, owned
Fuller?
By Sara Lee. No, by the Sara Lee Corporation.
By the people that own, that make the cakes.
Yeah.
The frosted cakes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, We know so much about traveling salesmen now.
And farmer's daughters, which farmer's daughter joke, here's some more little academia on it, serves the cultural function of transmitting information about taboos and appropriate social behavior. Also noting that cultural artifacts such as folklore convey information about those tattoos. The academic, I think her name is Erica K. Klaus, notes that the known varieties of these jokes speak to one of three specific fantasies for the audience of the joke, which is edible triumph, castration, or feminization. Whoa. Regardless of which variation of the joke is being told, the traveler is meant to be a stand-in for the narrator of the joke, the character with whom the listener is meant to relate. Ah, see, you need a relatable character in your short story to be the everyman, the voice of the audience. Read in such ways, the listener himself or herself, such jokes are stereotypically affiliated with males, is cast into an incestuous fantasy. Edible triumphs as occurring in the version of the joke where the traveler successfully figures out a way to circumvent whatever barriers the farmer has laid out to prevent the sexual liaison.
Good count. Yeah.
So basically, a lot of fucked up shit going on there.
Yes. I took a couple folklore classes in college, and it was actually folklore of the British Isles. But the thing is like with these farmer daughters jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like right there, you saw where they said, oh, okay, we can break these down into the Oedipal triumph, the castration, or feminization. And they would do the same thing with like folk music and folk poems and stuff.
Right.
And then they could start, but then they would like assign them numbers. Because you could just go, oh, this is a 49 variant B, you know, and it was just very they could like get really specific with their naming conventions on the. I bet somebody's done that with these farmer daughter jokes where it's like, oh, that's the variant 7 of farmer's daughter joke 24.
Yeah, but you can do the same with Aesop's fables, which are meant to teach. Oh
yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
So basically, I guess in summary, is that these farmer daughter traveling salesman jokes are meant to play upon our fears, anxieties, and teach us a lesson about our kind of what is acceptable in society. And then we laugh.
Yeah, at the jokes. I did kind of dig up, I don't know, have you ever seen this film, Harmon? Did you hear the one about the traveling sales lady?
No, I did not. Tell us more.
It came out in 68, I believe, and with the starring role of somebody we've talked about here on the podcast before, Phyllis Diller.
What?
Yeah,
you mean Phyllis Diller from one of our past episodes on the history of the Purple Onion, which you can check out
Phyllis
on our site, Comedy History 101. Subscribe today.
And also starring Bob Denver in a non-Gilligan type role.
Post or pre Gilligan Island?
Yeah, I think that would be post. I think
okay. Wow. Yeah. What have you seen the movie?
No, I just remember the title. I remember the title. I couldn't find a trailer anywhere, but I just remember it when I was a kid. Thought it was a weird title, and it was one of those wacky.
What's the movie about?
Wacky. Well, Phyl Stiller is the traveling salesman of the title, and it somehow involves a car race with steam-powered cars. It's one of those wacky 60s.
Oh, like Mad World type thing? Yep,
exactly. It was exactly like one of those, but wholesome, and this had most of the cast of McHale's Navy in it, I think.
You mean Ernest Borgnine?
I don't think he was in it, but I think everybody, like Joe Flynn and all those other guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll drop in a clip of the trailer here.
If we can find it. No, I don't think we can, because somebody was... I looked it up on IMDb, and I couldn't find anything on YouTube. And on the IMDb, the person was complaining, like, it hasn't been released on DVD or VHS. So it's like kind of...
It looks like when I go to the TV movie museum here in New York to check out the episode of Turn On... which we did a past episode on. Check it out.
That's
going to
be
iTunes.
Our exclusive.
I'll have to check exclusive. Out this one as well.
Yeah, do it.
And any other takeaways? You mentioned here on our Google Doc something about George Plimpton.
Yeah, there's another movie. Did you watch any of that? Because that was actually, we should kind of talk about that.
You want me to watch right now? We can power of edit.
No.
No? Okay.
Nah, maybe in another. It was just really the title. But it's actually kind of interesting. We might need to go into this one time. So this is a movie that is a documentary with George Plimpton where he tries to do stand-up. And so he talks to all these. The movie starts with Woody Allen doing stand-up.
What year is this?
Yeah. I think it's from like 73.
Oh, wow. So it's before the stand-up boom. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you can find it. You can find it on YouTube. But the title is, Did You Hear the One About... ...
And is there a traveling salesman or farmer's daughter?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch the whole thing. But it was really kind of interesting to watch. Because the copy that they have on YouTube was from the production house.
Yeah.
So when you watch the whole thing, like in the film, it gets to like, about 10 minutes in and it just goes, insert commercial here.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What you're saying is cool movie, possibly nothing to do with traveling salesmen or farmers' daughters.
I think there might be, no, except for the title, Did You Hear the One About... Okay, and there might
but you
be...
You can put anything in there. Did you hear the one about the broken toaster in the
I can neither confirm nor deny the fact that there is a traveling salesman joke in there.
You could do that with anything. Confirm nor deny... That farmer's daughter traveling salesman connection is involved. Okay, no, that's all right. Good plug for the movie. Maybe that's a separate episode. That's a whole new episode in itself. Which I think we should do an episode on that. That sounds kind of interesting.
I think you should, yes. It's kind of an interesting little weird movie. Yeah.
What's this sponsored by DuPont? What is that?
Yeah, it was sponsored by DuPont, like back in the old-timey days, even though it's not that old-timey. But I guess, I don't know why DuPont is sponsoring a movie about stand-up comedy.
So, Scott, any other takeaways on either traveling salesman jokes, farmer's daughter jokes, or farmer's daughter's jokes that involve traveling salesmen?
Just be careful of the farmer in these situations because he's going to, the ending's not going to be nice.
Yeah, and also, when you are sleeping in a farmhouse, when you're invited in, make sure, if it's a sexual relationship, make sure it's consensual.
Right, exactly. Always. That is number one, Harmon. That's the number one takeaway from all
of these farmer daughter jokes.
Yes.
Yes. So... Scott, with that, I think it's time to plug away, because I think that does it. I think that wraps up what
nice.
We know
nice
about... Thank you, Shane Schmidt of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And again, if you want to comment or suggest an episode, contact us through our website, Comedy History 101, or on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just Google it. It's easy to find. We will mention your name and... chances are we will do your episode. And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, Harmon, I have to plug what I've been plugging for a while now, that I wrote and directed and Harmon produced a short documentary called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth But We're Afraid to Ask, which is currently on the festival circuit. And we got a whole slew of festivals lined up for the next couple of months here. We'll be showing in Argentina at Fun Cinema.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you mean we'll have people watching the movie and eating empanadas?
Yeah, dude. Hold
on. Wearing their Diego Maradona t-shirts.
Okay, hold on. You have to think of that for each country I'm going to go through now.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, absolutely. I like this game. Go ahead.
And then we've got two screenings in Australia at the Sydney Underground and Victory International Film Festivals.
Oh, mate. Will the audience be bringing a knife? That's not a knife. Now that's a knife.
Wait, was that guy from New Zealand? All right, okay.
What? And then, we're gonna get angry letters from Australians because of that.
We'll be showing a shorts Mexico in Mexico.
We won't be having a burrito because a burrito is actually American concoction. We'll be having tacos, which is more traditional because a burrito is American, actually origin in the Mission District of San Francisco.
Oh, excellent. Okay, and then last here, we'll be screening Canada at the Long Weekend du Court.
Oh, are they going to be laughing about it?
about your poutine?
Eating their poutine and doing their curling rock thing on the way to cinema.
Wayne Gretzky.
And spelling, going to the theater and spelling it wrong.
Oh my God, dude. All right, but then we do have a couple more screenings in the States. The Drunken Film Festival out in Oakland and the Harmony.
Oh, wait, is that like Drunken Shakespeare? It's like, okay, first, all the audience has to be drunk. Like, one of those hacky premise things that everyone fucking does.
We'll be showing with our friend Craig Baldwin's other cinema out in San Francisco in December. That's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. San Francisco.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And then this is the big one, Harmon. So it's actually
drum roll.
Yeah. Yep. So technically this will be out on Wednesday. Actually, I'm not supposed to say it before then, but this will
be it's not going to put this up tomorrow. Tuesday.
Okay. Well, this is kind of top secret.
Okay. So go ahead.
All right. We'll be screening at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas.
Oh my God, we're gonna get this information out early. On that,
I know, dude. We are. It's a thing. Yeah. It's a scoop. It's a scoop.
Did you sign an NDA? NDA?
I don't know what I signed, man. But if you don't get me in trouble, don't get me in trouble.
Okay. If you're listening from that festival, don't this say came anything. Out on Wednesday. It's Wednesday, yes. Not Tuesday.
No.
All right, cool. And I have a new book out called Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories. Features my best infiltration stories of going out and exploring and infiltrating cultural tribalism in America. Everything from assault weapon enthusiasts to furries. Order it on Amazon. And with that wraps up another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. We will see you, not see you. We will talk to you. What do we do? They won't see you.
We're podcasting, dude.
Yeah. We will podcast to you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am. I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am. This is... Yes, ma'am. This is the president.
Hey, everyone. Scott here. You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump, we cover all your favorite presidents. And not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And, if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President subscribe, and together we'll make America great again.